Good morning. I'm still Richard. Kathy and I were talking about it the other day, that there's a lot of different ways to do a workshop in this kind of environment. We can do a panel where we have a collection of members sharing on a common theme. We can do presentation style like Karen and I did last night, which is more suitable for large rooms. We can do the roundtable discussion, which is my favorite, that's more suitable for smaller rooms. And then Karen and I, when we went to the Catalina conference this year, we got to participate in a workshop that really we were quite excited by. And we decided we'd like to try that format here. So the way this is going to work is we've carefully selected four presenters who are each going to share their experience, strength, and hope around three of the steps. They're going to do that fairly briefly, and then we're going to invite your participation. So we're going to ask you to come to the mic and share whatever it is that they're sharing may have prompted in you. We are going to ask you to keep in mind that we would like to hear from as many people as possible, so please keep it brief. We're going to ask you, when you decide you'd like to come up and share, please come and just sit in one of these chairs here. So then the question becomes, how do we know when to cut that off? Well, I'm going to be the time meanie, and that's my job this morning. And I was trying to think of what would be a good mechanism for saying, okay, we're going to cut this off after the next speaker or the next person to share. And I'm going to do that by the simple expedient of I'm going to move up to one of these chairs when it's time to cut off sharing for a given segment. So if I'm sitting over here, treat it like I've got really bad body odor and you don't want to come up and be near me, okay? So with that, I am going to call up our first presenter, which is Christina on steps one, two, and is Jill on steps one, two, and three. Well, a couple of them are just a little nervous, so please be gentle.
Good day, everybody. My name is Jill, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I got the pleasure to be asked to do one, two, and three. And okay, so we have to lean for this to work. I get a very direct approach when it came to these three steps. I believe the first time I ever did them, it took me probably about as long as I'm going to be talking today. So hopefully I can relate the same effectiveness as was related to me at the time. The steps are as follows. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives become unmanageable. That right there states what our problem is. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That right there states that we have a solution to our problem. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. That right there is a decision to actually carry out that solution. And what that looked in my life, the powerlessness in my life didn't have anything to do with alcohol. When I grew up, I didn't have alcoholism in my family. I had the family disease of alcoholism in my family. So I never actually saw anyone really drink. You know, my mom might have had like one little glass like once a month or something. My dad, I don't think I ever saw him drink. But the behaviors that were instilled on them by their families got passed down to me. And I got to learn a way of living that allowed me to barely survive in life. I didn't get to live it. I didn't get to enjoy it. And all I did was try to find a solution. And every solution I found did not work. And that stemmed to all the relationships I had, because a lot of those survival skills were based around relationships. I didn't get to feel emotions. I didn't get to talk. I didn't get to do a lot of stuff like that. And the unmanageability really came around my behavior surrounding all that stuff. And there was times where, you know, I had these mental blank spots that didn't allow me to even control what I was doing for behaviors. Nick stated that really well with his blackout rage. I never had blackout rage, but I had similar situations that caused myself and others a great amount of hardship. So that right there, unmanageability. So we have a solution because of that. It's power greater than ourselves. Cool thing is about step two, it says that we came to believe. It doesn't say we have to believe. And that right there opens up a lot of doors to a lot of people that might have some reservations. Myself, I didn't really like the term God. I didn't have anything against a power greater than myself, but I didn't like the term God. And God was thrown around these rooms a lot. Didn't stop me from coming, didn't stop me from doing the work. But it did slow me down on my understanding of what a higher power could be. I had to change my attitudes towards that. Now I can say God and I don't cringe. You know, it's, but then again, I don't relate it to my first conception of God, which brings me to step three, turning our will over to, one second here, I got it written down. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So that God as we understand him, I'm just going to go into that a little bit quick because I already started on that, right? My understanding is not what I would ever expect someone else's understanding to be. I don't even want someone else to understand the same way I do because that won't work. My head is crazy and your head is crazy, and I don't think it's quite the same crazy all the time. But the cool thing is that my conception of what my higher power is has changed many times in the working of my program. And I think I'm going to quit calling it a program. I'm going to start calling it a way of life because that's what I've had to do. And that's what... you guys have allowed me to see that it is a way of life, and it is a very good way of life, especially if you compare it to the way I was living. But turning my will over to, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. That right there states exactly what we're doing. We're making a decision. We're making a choice to actually decide to carry on the rest of this work. And for me, I was in enough pain that was a very easy choice to make. I was like, sure, just make it stop, anything. Let's go. Let's do the work. It's like making, I have to look at myself, which is what the next speaker gets to talk about. Fabulous. whatever works for me. And I came to this program in a very bad place. And I get to say this morning wholeheartedly that I'm actually in a very, very good spot. And I got to thank that to being able to talk to a sponsor, to being able to talk to people in the program and work these steps and live this life. So I think this is a good opportunity to open it up to whoever wants to come up and share. Thank you very much for letting me speak, everyone.
At that point, we would like to invite anybody who would like to share on steps 1, 2, or 3 to come up and do so. Thank you.
You're welcome to come stand beside me at the podium, too. Keep me company.
Careful.
Well, good morning. My name is Mark, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. Jill, the reason I want to come up and say something, I really appreciated what you said about step two, about how your belief in your higher power is sort of evolving as you're working through the steps. And for me, that's been very true. I think if I had sort of allowed myself to get hung up on steps 1, 2, and 3 and not done the step 4 work and step 5 with my sponsor, I think that work through step 4 and 5 really, really shaped my belief in a higher power and started to show me areas in my life where I could see my higher power playing a huge role. And so I think for me, you know, being a bit of a perfectionist and worrying too much about, well, I gotta perfect this step before I move on. You know, it was important for me to continue working through the steps, and it's okay to take a step back and reevaluate where you're at with the first 3 steps. So, anyways, I just wanted to share that little bit. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Good morning. My name is Christy, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I'm extremely pleased to be here. This is my first workshop or conference of this style. I've been going to Al-Anon, actually in Mexico, for several years. I started out very small meetings, and the first step, of course, I don't think I'm alone in this, but I came with lots of blame you know, it was all about the other guy. It was all about the alcoholic. And it was kind of a surprise to learn that, you know, right in step one, it says my life had become unmanageable, you know. And something said yesterday, no matter how quickly we go through the steps, we can always go back to step one. And I'm so pleased to have my sister here as a newcomer. And, you know, it's all, it reminds me what it was like 8 years ago when I first came into the program, and how it, all these new slogans and this new information was so vital and new to me. And I have to be careful to be in the moment always and realize that something that she said to me was, oh, well, I thought maybe I could just, you know, do this for a year and then I'd be all fixed. And she heard something yesterday that kind of said, we can always go back to step one. And not that we can, that I need to go back to step one and remind myself, because I do live with an active alcoholic, and it's really a challenge. And I don't have Al-Anon. I live in a little town in the rural area of Saskatchewan with no Al-Anon program. Now we have no, and I'm a double winner. Through Al-Anon, discovered that I actually am an alcoholic. Not only did I was I raised with alcoholics all around me, but because it wasn't kind of the typical standard alcoholism that I perceived, I was a binge drinker. It was very normalized. But when and I had a great deal of difficulty with step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore. Okay, well, I liked the wording. They didn't come right out immediately and say God, because of course, like a lot of people, we've had, you know, growing up had an uncomfortable feeling about what, you know, the scary man with the long white beard. And this program has taught me so much. Listening to other people, I just love the meetings where you can, as someone yesterday said, you learn so much more from listening than from talking. So the first three steps are vital. Sometimes I can forget how important it is to go back to those steps always and recognize that I truly am powerless, and that there is a power greater than me who will bring me back to sanity. And thank you so much for being here and having this wonderful conference. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Barb, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I was sitting there thinking about my step one, admitting that I was powerless. And I think for me, coming down to the doors of Al-Anon was so scary, and that I was so out of control, that it was really easy to admit that I was powerless over my life. I was angry, I was resentful, I was bitter. And but then listening to the steps and hearing the God word really frightened me, because I didn't grow up. I believed the God they were talking about was a religious God, and I felt kind of ignorant to it and thinking, oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not familiar with God, and it scares me. And so for me, the second step came to believe that a power greater than ourselves. I kind of used the group for a while, because I felt like when I came to the program that I was no longer alone, that I could talk about what I was feeling. And they understood, and they just shook their heads, and they were sharing my story. And so for the longest time, I just used the members as my God. And as I became more familiar and comfortable with the group, you know, it was easier just to, you know, to turn my will over to the group. And with doing my fourth and fifth step, I kind of understand more now that it's not a religious God, it's a spiritual God, and God can be anywhere and in my heart or wherever I am. And so now my way of turning it over to God basically is just letting go, letting go and being still, and that's what usually gets me through things, that and the group. Thank you.
I'm Blair.
Hi, Blair.
I just have a real brief sharing. There's an experienced Al-Anoner in Saskatoon here that sums up the first three steps really well, and whenever I hear her share it, it really hits home, and I just wanted to share it with you. The first three steps can be summed up in these words. The first step is, I can't. The second step is, God can. And the third step is, and I'm going to let him. So just something I wanted to share.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Karen, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Karen.
I just wanted to make a comment on step one. You know, it's really easy to see with alcoholism that it is a fatal disease for the alcoholic. I mean, that's pretty easy. We get that after a while. But what's not so easy to see sometimes is that this is a fatal disease. The family disease of alcoholism is also fatal. And I didn't really get that when I first came, because I didn't really understand that I was affected by the family disease of alcoholism. And sitting in the rooms and hearing other people's stories, I realized how it affected me. You know, several years ago, we had the opportunity to go down and to talk to women in a women's prison. And there's so many people in prison because of the family disease of alcoholism. This disease kills. It kills differently than the disease of alcoholism, but it kills. We have women in prison who murdered because of the family disease of alcoholism. We have people who end up in our wonderful Dubay Center in Saskatoon because of the family disease of alcoholism. You know I took stress leave because of the family disease of alcoholism. This disease kills. And if this was a one-step program, we're screwed. Like, we are totally screwed. And it's hopeless. You know, that's, if I had a one-step program, I might as well just go out and kind of check out and thank God for the other 11 steps of this 12-step program. Because for me, I need to be able to go back and feel what I'm feeling, to know that my life can completely get unmanageable. But I can't stop there. You know, it's that idea that there is a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. That's hope. Thank God for hope. Without hope, there is nothing. You know, and then that idea that if I'm just willing to make that decision, then my life can change. So thanks for letting me share.
Okay, we'd like to get one more speaker or one more person up to share, whoever that might be. Thank you, Terry.
I'm Terry.
Hi, Terry.
I guess for me, step three is really feels like the backbone of my day and the backbone of the recovery process that I go through every day, every morning before I get up. You know, I make that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of a higher power. And it's really... It's really made a difference in my life, and it's really been nice to have that structure to my day and to my life, and building on, kind of what Blair said, you know, to let a higher power into my life is what I find step three does for me. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Okay, moving right along. One of the coolest things for me about being an active member of Al-Anon is that these days I get to have a completely different relationship with members of the opposite sex. I've got this huge and growing collection of very special little sisters, and Christina is one of the most special of those. And she's going to talk about steps 4 through 6.
Hi, my name is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. Today I'm going to talk not so much about doing steps 4, 5, and 6, but more about what I feel I've gained from working them, which is a little bit difficult and a little bit confusing because I still feel like I'm very much in the middle of that process. And there's a lot of things that I'm realizing now that I didn't understand was happening as I went through it. Steps 4, 5, and 6 really kind of rocked me right to my core. They shook up a lot of things. They really challenged and changed a lot of the beliefs and attitudes I had about myself, my history, and the people and relationships in my life. And to be quite honest, it was pretty tumultuous, pretty overwhelming, and pretty scary at times. But it also started to challenge and change the ideas I had about the type of life I could have and the type of life I wanted to have. Before program, I spent most of my life hiding and scared. I'd always felt that deep down inside, like I was irreparably broken. I felt like deep down in my core, all you would find was this deep, dark space that was filled with this black, gross, worthless goo. And if you ever saw that, you wouldn't love me, you wouldn't want me, and you wouldn't accept me. So I had to hide it. Because if I could hide it, then maybe, just maybe, you would tolerate me, and it would be okay for me to exist. So I spent a lifetime trying to hide that goo, and I did that by doing my best to be perfect, by trying to be whatever it was I thought you wanted me to be, and by being fine. Because if I figured if I was fine, you wouldn't see the goo. And if you didn't see the goo, that meant that I didn't have to look at the goo. And that was the thing I was most afraid of doing. Because I was afraid if I ever had to look into that deep, dark spot where I held my guilt, where I held my shame, where I held my fear, I would find out that all the horrible things I thought about myself were true. And then I got to step 4, and you asked me to look into the goo. And I didn't realize, with step 4, you got me to do something that I would have never thought of doing on my own. You asked me to turn on the light. And step 4 allowed me to start to bring some of that stuff out into the light and look at it more clearly. And I got to challenge and put a name and a voice to the monsters that were hiding under the bed and in the closet. And I didn't have to do it alone. I had a sponsor to hold my hand. I had my higher power. I had my literature. And I had you. And I got to find out that some of those monsters were not as scary as I thought. That I wasn't the only one that had thought, felt, or experienced those things. And in a lot of cases, I got to find out that I wasn't there anymore. I'm not 5. I'm not a child. I'm an adult. I have a voice. I have choices. And I have the right to participate in my life. 4 and 5 was interesting for me because it gave me the opportunity, in a lot of cases, to go back and feel and experience things for the first time because I had numbed so much out. And in other cases, it gave me a chance to revisit the pain. I got to touch the pain and see it from a slightly different perspective, and then I got to start to let it go. And the only way we get out is by going through. The other thing that was really profound for me is steps 4 and 5 were my 4 and 5. They were my experience. No one told me it wasn't real. No one told me not to feel that way. Instead, I got love, understanding, acceptance, kindness, and grace, which I think are some of the greatest and most overlooked gifts of our program. My sponsor was there for me for the entire thing. She supported me through my pain. She shared some of hers. And then ever so gently, she took me by the hand and showed me things I hadn't seen or considered before. But most of all, she made me feel safe. And like my opinions in my experience, had value and in truth. So much of my history had been filled with people altering my reality, telling me black was white and white was black, that I'd lost contact with that voice inside. I didn't know how to trust it, and I didn't know how to believe in it. And steps 4 and 5 have started to give me some of that back. I got to stand up for myself in a real way. I took an action, even though I didn't fully understand it at the time, that demonstrated to Christina that I'm worth it, that I'm worth fighting for. I'm worth taking the time to figure out what makes me tick. I'm worth taking the time to find out what's working and what's not working and where to go from there. And you taught me that. I never would have had the courage, integrity, or willingness to complete these steps without your encouragement, strength, and support. I wouldn't have ever dared to believe I was worth the effort without working through steps 1, 2, and 3 and making that decision to turn it over and to try something new, despite how scary and foreign that felt. To become willing, to become teachable, to open my head and heart just a tiny crack, just enough to become willing to become willing. That's really what step 6 means to me. How free do I want to be? How far am I willing to go? Am I willing to give up the thing I love the most? Am I willing to let go of the person I love the most? And I have moments in this program where I am on fire, and I am filled with willingness and certainty, and I know this is my path, and I'm ready, and I'm raring to go. But more often than that, I have moments where I feel nothing. I feel empty, alone, and lost. And that's when I have to remember that this is a program of action. Am I willing to step out on faith when I can't feel it? Am I willing to be willing? Am I willing to acknowledge the hopelessness, the fear, the pain, and turn it over anyway? I used to blame God for everything, and I always thought he was punishing me. Now, more and more, I choose to see him as standing beside me. And instead of blaming him, I see him as a source of support that I can lean on when I'm hurting and scared. And instead of trying to fix things and force solutions, I can place my pain in his hands and trust that he will do what's best. And then I focus on thy will, not my will. First things first. And I do my best to focus on what God puts in front of me and trust that he'll carry me through the rest. So today, after 4, 5, and 6, I feel like I know myself better. I have a better understanding of myself, my history, my relationships, my higher power, and where I want to go. I have a greater compassion and appreciation for myself, others, and this program. And I'm learning that I don't have to do it alone, and how to face life with dignity, strength, and faith, rather than with fear and self-loathing. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for always being there.
And so I'll invite you up to share whatever's in your mind and heart on steps 4, 5, and 6. I would also encourage you, if someone is up here sharing and you feel like you'd like to come and share, please take one of the waiting chairs here so that there's a little less lag time in between people sharing. So we are looking for our first person who wants to follow that.
Good morning, I'm Melissa.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
I'm not so sure I'm willing to be up here, but I'm still here. Mostly to say thank you. Oh, man, I've heard you speak before many times. And I'm so grateful when you do. I realized when you were talking that I haven't been willing to go to step four. I keep saying I'm dancing with one, two, and three, and I kind of got it that I don't really want to go there. And so seeing you there, I almost had this, I had this visual of you sort of being in the depths and holding your hand out for us to come to, and that it's okay to be there. And that there's something on the other side, right? There's a reason to work through all that. So thank you again and again. Had a really interesting week where I had a very concentrated time where I dedicated myself to have a conversation with my higher power. And to really listen, and went into it like, okay, tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to hear. I don't have an agenda in this conversation, which is really unlike me. I even brought my day planner here. Why do I have my day planner? I don't know. But I do. Anyhow, had this hour to myself to really open myself and say, take me where you want me to go. And at the end went, really? That's not where I thought we were going. But it's been, so it's been really interesting, and the words that kept coming back were being more flexible, and that I often am a willful child where I try to control and get my own way, and sort of have little tantrums. And so, and that's so true. And even not wanting to go to step four is like me being that willful child of, nope, not going there yet. So just really an interesting conversation with my higher power, and really being willing now to hear that and see that in my life when I'm having my little moments, and that I need to be more flexible. And there's a lot of power behind that for me. So it's been really neat. And then to see it connect to get out of steps one, two, and three, start actually doing this work, and maybe something, no, not maybe, something will come of it. So thanks for that little, like, nudge maybe, hey? Thanks, Chris.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Mickey.
Hi.
I didn't know I was going to talk, but my heart was pounding, so I thought that must mean something. So here I am. Four, five, and six, for me, like a lot of people, I put it off, put it off, put it off. I had a lot of trouble with them. I've had trouble with all the steps because I never thought I would do them right. So I just thought it'd be better not to do them. Even steps one, two, and three, I thought, how do I know when I'm done? When you go to school, you get an assignment, you do it, you hand it in, you're done. But I thought, how do I know that I've admitted? Am I finished? Do I move on? I just never had the confidence that I did it right. And so when it came to step four, I was really, really leery. I kept meeting with my sponsor about my step four, and I would say, maybe I should do it this way. And then I'd meet again, and I'd say, well, maybe I should do the big book way. And we'd meet again, and I'd think, maybe I should do it this way. And finally she said, just blank do it, you know. So she made me understand that however I did it was where I was at that time. I could come back and do it again. I could do it. A redo. So that was good, just to know that whatever I did at that time, that was where I was. So I finally did it, and it took a long time, but I plugged through it, and I've done two now, actually. One was with a group step study, so that was a little more motivating to keep up with the group, couldn't be left behind. So and the step fives that I did were just, the first one I went away and I thought, well, that was nice, but I didn't get that big aha moment that I heard people had. But the second time I was a lot deeper, and I said things out loud that I never even wanted to think about. And the lady I shared with didn't go screaming and running out of the house. She didn't look at me like I was evil. She actually shared with me, oh, yeah, I've done that. And I thought, really, there's another human on earth that's been that despicable, you know? So it's really good to know. I think we can overjudge ourselves and be overcritical. That's very common with everybody, I think. And we can blow some things out of proportion. And sure, I've done some pretty rotten things, but I'm a human being, and one lesson I've learned is that God has forgiven me already, and so it's about time that I forgave myself too, I think, and for me not to forgive myself is almost an insult to my higher power. He loves me, even though I've not been always the most upstanding moral citizen of this planet, but he still loves me. So even step six, though, I dragged and dragged, not wanting to, I don't know, it's like I fight myself when I go through these steps. And my sponsor said, are you ready to have these defects removed? Do you want to? And I finally just said, hell yeah.
Okay. Morning, everybody. I'm Ian.
Hi, Ian.
I'm really glad for this approach to this kind of sharing. It's kind of neat. I'm enjoying it. Thank you very much for putting so eloquently my experience with my reluctance to do my step four, that idea of having this deep, dark place that is locked up tight, and you throw away the key, and you never, ever want to go there. And the step four is that process where I believe my higher power leads me to go find that key and to go open the door and to turn the light on and see what's really there. And it's... For me, it was just as it was described. It was a place I never thought I could go. I was afraid to look because I was afraid all those things that I thought might be behind that door would turn out to be true. And that would be, for me, devastating. I struggled, too, with doing my step four at the beginning. I tried all different kinds of ways. And I was so shocked when I finally stumbled upon this way of starting to list out my fears. I thought it was a safe place to kind of try starting my step four. And what shocked me was I never thought I was a fearful person. I didn't realize fear was underpinning everything I did in life and how I approached relationships, how I approached myself, how I approached you. So step four was a complete revelation to me of what was going on inside me. And I really needed that light so that I could get on with the rest of the work, right? This disease is, you know, we talk about the disease being cunning and baffling. Like, not being able to know who I am, not even understanding how I approached life, not having a clue where to go and what to tackle if I'm going to try and get past some of the things this disease has done to me. Step four is brilliant. If you haven't gone there, it's natural to be afraid. I was. I'm still afraid to do another one because I'm afraid what I might find this time. But having gone through it, there's just... I can't describe the liberation that brings. Step five as well, for me, I was a person who couldn't trust other people. Again, I didn't want to let you know who I was because I was afraid of how you might react to that. So for me, step five was a very large step. That was having to trust somebody and bring them down in that dark room with me and turning the light on together and sharing what's found. And finding out that it's, you know, they've been there too, they've done that too, they've had those fears too, and that it's not that bad, right? That first time I really trusted somebody with who I was, even though I didn't know who I was, and having them love me anyway was a real healing step for me, really healing. And what a gift, right? What a gift to have somebody else know you so well that you can go to them anytime in the future and share when you're hurting and when you're in pain and when you need help. Finally having that friend that you can trust and that shoulder you can lean on and that companionship that helps us get through life, that idea of together we can make it. Because before step five, there was no experience of together with somebody else at that level. So I really, really appreciate the healing that these steps bring. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Kathy, grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Kathy.
It is great, yes. Step 4, 5, 6, I often in meetings, I just hear and see the fear surrounding that a lot of people have. And I didn't really go into it that way. I always think of my first step 4 as kind of my TSN turning point. I needed that. I needed to take that inventory and figure out what my patterns were, what it was that I was doing. And I think maybe I didn't have as much fear because I really didn't think it was going to be as maybe big of a deal as it was, because I felt, you know, well, I don't really have resentments. I've forgiven my ex-alcoholic husband. I've forgiven my dad. I've forgiven, like, I thought I had kind of gotten through this on my own. And there's a wonderful saying that says, forgiveness is not about forgetting. It's letting go of the other person's throat. And I was still hanging on. There was a few claw marks here and there. And I remember sitting with my step 4 inventory list, and I had, like, I think 3 names on my list, and I called up a friend who was also in program and said, should I be angry at more people? And she said, Kathy, it's not about that. A resent means to live again. Who are all those people and things when you see them or you think about them, you still get that feeling inside. Your shoulders kind of raise, you get that. And then she was being very helpful and started listing things. Like, remember all those people in high school, like you telling me, like, you didn't. And she went on, and I'm like, okay, I got it. Thank you. I don't. Anyway, so then I sat down, and 6 pages later, I realized I had a few more resentments than I thought I did. And the thing was, it was very eye-opening for me, particularly with my relationships, when I, you know, thought, why do I always end up with these controlling, emotionally abusive, manipulative men? And then I did a step 4, and I realized, oh my goodness, I'm controlling and manipulative. And I had never, ever thought of myself in that way before, because the way that I did that was very different. I did it in a very codependent way. So I did it through kindness and helpfulness and being the good person in the relationship, and realizing that my defects of character weren't so much defects, they were just taking things to the extreme. My version of loyalty and my version of responsibility, my version of helpfulness weren't healthy. I didn't do them for the right motives. And that I needed that. I needed to see those patterns so I could not repeat those. And if I didn't know what those patterns were, I couldn't. The step 5 was powerful. And I feel like almost every time I share, it's a version of that. And growing up with so much guilt and shame, it's amazing when you actually start to share. Every time you share, it loses its power. And what I used to think made me such an horrible, awful, worthless, unlovable person, those things that I did, they're just part of my story now. I used to not barely be able to say them, and then I could say them while crying, and now I just, they're like, oh yeah, that was part of my past. That's part of who made me who I am. And so as I worked through 4, 5, 6, and was able to forgive and get through and let go of a lot of my past and realize, you know, those people in my life were doing the best with what they could, with what they had at the time. It made me realize I was doing the best with what I had, with what I had at the time. And that's okay. And those defects of character, there were times where they weren't a defect when I was growing up because I needed those to survive. And that's what got me through. It's just that it doesn't work now. And so I needed 4, 5, and 6 to change that, to see. to see more clearly. So I'm really grateful, even though it was painful at the time. It's like, you know, when you have a broken bone that doesn't set and you live with it for a long time and you just learn to live with the pain, and then you realize, I don't want to live this way anymore. But you have to re-break it to reset it. And that's painful too, but then it heals and you can move forward. So thank you. I love this program.